I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Indeed, my friends.
Philip K. Dick, it can't be.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 72.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn out series.
Heartbreaking.
Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like
and,
me.
And this is, of course, the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome, 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 and welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks to being, you know, posted on the front page of iTunes, the iTunes podcast page, which has been pretty damn cool, I must say. A lot of new people checking in. So I hope that you all enjoy the show. If you will, let's get this out of the way here really quick before we truly get started here with the show. If you enjoy the show. If you are a fan of the Air Raid Podcast, please help us out by rating the show or even reviewing the show on iTunes. It'll only take you a couple seconds, but those ratings really, really do help us continue to get the good guests that you are now familiar with and used to hearing on the show. So yeah, go to iTunes. Only take you a couple seconds. Rate the show. Give it a star rating or give it a short little review. Tell us what you think. You can also email me, Aaron, that's A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net with your thoughts and whatever you're thinking about. Tell me what you think of the show. And we've got a couple emails to read today for you as well. We got a great show planned for you today. Dan Heinrich. Co-creator and, I believe, director of this new web series called The Collectibles that you can find.
No! Gary Clarkson!
Totally not prepared, everybody. Nothing has changed. Being on the iTunes top charts has not changed who I am. I am still very unprepared to do this show. I'm going to find that website for The Collectibles. Anyway, he's going to be joining us here in Dining Room Studios here shortly, but we got a couple things to think about. To talk about. God damn it. Jesus Christ. Seriously. Okay, my mind is going a little bit quick for me today. I'm on my, like, fourth cup of coffee here, and that's probably why I am slurring my speech. I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk for this show, which is a good thing. I have had some celebratory drinks here the other day by myself, just to celebrate the fact that we are on the iTunes top charts. We made it all the way to like number 70 out of hundreds of thousands of podcasts. That's really cool, man. That's really cool. So yeah, thank you. To the people who are now tuning in and downloading this show, the new fans in Kuwait and Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, all over the world, man. We're taking this shit worldwide, people. So yeah, thanks again. But yeah, so we're going to talk with Dan here in just a little bit. My wife and I, we sat down, we watched a movie the other night. Crazy Stupid Love, very good movie, and has one Mr. Ryan Gosling in a pretty good role in this flick. He's a great actor, by the way. That guy's got some chops, and holy shit, if he is not possibly the best looking man on the planet, right? Am I right? I mean, I am straight as an arrow, but I'll tell you what. If the chance came up for me to bone Mr. Ryan Gosling, I might have trouble turning that offer down. I don't know what I would do. I'd have to think about it for a little bit. You know, hopefully there'd be some money involved, I guess, to sweeten the pot, so to speak. But that guy, man, what a handsome dude. Very handsome dude and very, very talented. Saw him in the movie Drive. The movie Drive was fantastic. If you haven't seen that, you got to check that one out. But Crazy Stupid Love, really good movie, man. Really good movie. Julianne Moore, Steve Carell, that girl with the red hair, who's super cute. She's in there too, and Ryan Gosling. Anyway, also watched this other movie, Horrible Bosses. Watched that just the other day, and it was pretty good. It was pretty funny. It's worth a Sunday watch, you know, just laying down, being lazy, watching that movie. There's a scene in that movie though that rung totally true with me. And let me know what you guys think about this. You can email me, aaron@air-raid.net, like I told you earlier, because I really would like to get some feedback from people, especially dudes, on this new thing where guys are wearing designer jeans with the pockets are now embroidered with these stupid little designs on it. There you go. I just gave away how I feel about it. I'd like to know how you feel about it. But there's a scene in this movie, Horrible Bosses, where I think it's Jason Sudeikis's character is like looking through binoculars and spots this butt that is, you know, bent over. Somebody's bent over, and he's checking out this butt at like a hardware store or something like that. And he's just checking this butt out, and it's got like this this little horseshoe like print on the back pockets. And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's a nice ass." And then the person with the ass, you know, stands up, and it's a guy. Now, you know, that makes for some funny moments in a movie, a quick, easy comedy, easy laugh in a movie. But shit, dude, that happened to me just the other day. It literally happened to me. Same pair of pants, I think, too. And this guy was bent over in a supermarket, and I didn't know he was a guy, but he had a nice looking tuchus. And when he got up, I was like, "Oh shit, Jesus Christ!" You know, okay. So here's the thing with these jeans. This is false advertisement. This is a classic case of false advertising. Dudes, quit wearing these jeans because you know, some people like myself, other dudes may think you are a foxy female. And we'll be checking out your butt. For some guys, that may be what you intended, but you know, let's stop this. Let's stop this. Can we? Can we get everybody to just gang up on whoever's making this designer jeans for guys and just tell them to quit? Because okay, here's the thing too. So this guy, let me tell you about this. So. And let me, tell me what you think about this too. So this guy that I was checking out his butt, very, very inauthentic dude. Because when he stood up, I noticed that he was one of those punk rock, those new age punk rock guys, right? So jet black hair. He may have had an earring in, but he also had a neck tattoo, like on the front of his neck, you know, across the Adam's apple. So. At the same time, he's trying to, be hardcore with this neck tattoo, this Adam's apple tattoo, but at the same time, he's wearing designer jeans, what would you call it, like a D-bag. Can I just say that? Not everybody that wears these jeans are D-bags, and I apologize for that, but, you know, whatever. Shit, man. God damn it. So it just seems inauthentic to me, right? You can't be hardcore and wear designer embroidered jeans, right? Come on, man. If you're listening, okay. I'm gonna sound like a music snob, but I'm guessing that guy listens to one of these. I don't know, shitty, faux punk bands like Avril Lavigne. I'll bet you he's an Avril Lavigne listener. If he's got a neck tattoo like that and he's wearing designer jeans, he's probably into Avril Lavigne. And no offense to anybody who's into that, but it just seems inauthentic to me. Because that's not punk. When you're singing about love and about your boyfriend leaving you or something like that, that's not punk rock, man. That's not punk rock. You cannot call that hardcore music. You cannot. I've had enough. I've had enough of it. All right. Yeah. Jesus. I'm kind of out of it. I'm kind of out of it today. The coffee's not... It's making my brain and my mouth work faster, but it's not making my body... my body has some catching up to do here. So how about this? Actually, let's read a couple of these emails. So this one, let's see. This one is from a guy named Mark Allender who lives here in Seattle. He says, "Hello, Aaron. I heard about your podcast a while ago, and I finally got around to listening to it. I'm really enjoying it so far. The quality of your production and guests is very impressive. Thank you very much, Mark. Very, very kind words, sir." Also got this email from Christina Kramer, who is in a band called In Cahoots. And you can check that out at incahootsband.com. She says, "Hey, Aaron, I stumbled onto your podcast last week after searching for an interview with Visqueen. I'm frickin' hooked, dude. I'm sorry. God damn it. I really need to learn how to read out loud. This is tough stuff. I mean, this is a skill that I need to really acquire now that I am a father." She says, "Love what you do. Love so many of the bands you've introduced me to. I now listen on my commute, when I'm walking my dogs, and while I work out to Richard Simmons." can't handle his voice. Can you say addicted? So yeah, thank you so much, Christina. That is some very, very kind words. If you would like to send me an email, of course, Aaron@air-raid.net. And yeah, make it over to iTunes. Review the show, rate it. Only takes a couple seconds. You can also listen to us on Stitcher. Give us a thumbs up there. We've been doing pretty good on there, too. I've been making the What's Hot list a lot over there. But hey, we are featuring music today by the fantastic local Seattle hip-hop group, Blue Scholars. How did I brain fart on that one? I don't know. But we're going to hear this song, Lumiere. I think that's a Lumiere. I think that's how you say it, by Blue Scholars. This came out a little while ago. When we get back, we're going to have more of the Air Raid podcast for you with Mr. Dan Heinrich. And I think you're really going to enjoy this chat with him. I had a lot of fun talking to him here in Dining Room Studios. So this is Lumiere by the Blue Scholars, and we'll be right back.
High performing, night to morning. It's no time, but it's nice to warn them. Post-mortem, we don't mourn them. We go forth, but no, we don't force it. New leak from the office faucet. And all last week, the response is awesome. Goes off when a pro goes on. It has been that way since back before college. Just Geo, no longer logic. Still marching, still evolving. Still revolving around, don't stop till we sovereign. Whatever you call it, locked in thought like a Filipino watching. Boxing every so often, peace to the fallen. Here's to the hope that the beats that I'm rocking is reaching your coffin. Yeah, that's my daily routine. Glide through the motions, riding, coasting. Then I burn one slow. Feedback, need that, let it all go. Sunsets in the south end, right next to the mountains. And a light hits sound, right for a minute, then it's time for the clouds. Then it leaks somehow, time of the day when the freaks come out. Till it comes back east, say peace, cause we need some now. Please don't bow, ain't an encore after. Show you how if you asking how to hold down whole towns like a nat disaster. Slow down was the last example. Kill him, chilling in my b-boy stanza. And use y'all bastards for target practice. Y'all transcend, watch a brother transcend this madness. Catch it, damn it's trash. Routine, glide through the motions, riding, coasting.
All right, we are back to the Air Raid podcast with my special guest today, Dan Heinrich, from the Collectibles, what is it, web series?
Web series,
okay,
yes.
Okay. And it's not, what, fully available yet? You guys are still, it's in working.
We are, it's
you're
in
working on it.
We are working on it. We have three episodes shot. We've previewed the pilot episode, which is up now on our website, the-collectibles.com, as well as the Indiegogo fundraising site at the Collectibles. And we will actually premiere the series at the end of January 2012.
Okay, so you guys are working on the episodes as we speak.
We are. We're going to have a 10-episode season.
Episodes
1 through 3 are in the can.
Yeah.
2 is getting cut, and 4, 5, and 6 are being written and ready to be shot in early January.
Cool. All right, and we'll talk more about this a little bit later.
You bet.
But first, I want to apologize.
Uh-oh.
Because when you walked in today, I kind of still had this hint. Like, I've got a very sensitive nostrils.
Okay?
I have very good sense of smell, and It kind of smelled like fried eggs. But, you know, I'm not too sorry about it because fried eggs are delicious.
Fried eggs are delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't be sorry about it at all. I actually have a terrible sense of smell.
Oh, good.
So I didn't notice the fried eggs. It probably stems from childhood. My brother, I'm sorry, Tom, but this must be said.
Yeah.
My brother used to leave his bowl of Cheerios on the counter. So the Cheerios would sit in the milk, and you'd come home from school.
Oh, was he one of those? Was he one of those kids like he liked it soggy? Or no,
no,
he would just leave it there.
He'd eat,
he'd just
and
lazy.
There'd still be a dozen or so Cheerios floating around in the milk.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And he'd leave it there, and
yeah.
Then you'd come home from school, and there's just this milk Cheerios smell that just permeates the whole lower floor of the house.
Oh my God!
I can't eat Cheerios to this day.
They're, really? No. It just screwed it up for life for you.
And I used to eat them every day, and then it just. No.
Oh my God.
So
oh my God.
I think ever since then, psychologically, I've had to shut my sense of smell
right,
down.
Right.
It's helpful for being the father of a toddler. actually.
Yeah. I'm learning this. Yeah. You have a 2-year-old, I have a 6-month-old.
And
do you have any pieces of wisdom that I can take away from this? Or from you?
You will not realize how much you have missed sleep until you start getting it back.
I've already realized it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've listened to the show before.
I have.
But I have explained on many occasions about how lazy I am and how much sleep I need to function.
Yeah.
I need at least 23 hours of sleep to function for 1 hour of the day. So, I'm missing a lot of that now.
You're probably missing about 20 of your 23 hours.
Yeah, right,
then,
right. Exactly. Yeah. yeah. So how are things with your daughter going?
They're going really well.
You said you had a little bit of a mess today that you had to
Well,
that
yes.
You had to clean
it was
up.
It was bath day, and unfortunately she hasn't pooped for 2 days until bath time.
Until bath time.
So, which is right before nap time. So the thought was, okay, we know she's trying to. Do we just let her do this in the bath, or do we get a new diaper on her and right before
right,
and change
right.
it right before she goes down for the nap? And finally, it was like, you know what? Let's get her soaped up. Let's get her rinsed off.
Yeah,
let's see if we can beat the timing here. And we did. We got her cleaned.
Yeah.
Let her poop in the tub. Swoosh off to get changed and for the nap while I'm left cleaning out the tub. So. And again, that's because of my lack of sense of smell. My wife's
right.
I'll do it.
So it just works out for you.
Sweetie, this is one where I better take it. You're going to gag.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Oh, my God. Well, okay. So I wish I had that when I was younger because I would always – there's always the kid in like – let's go back to elementary school here really
uh-huh.
quick. Okay? Because this is – I mean this stems – that having a good sense of smell,
mm-hmm.
right? It gave me this fear of being the kid that has the weird smell.
Yeah.
Going to school.
And that – Yeah, you don't want to be that kid.
Yeah, but with your sense of smell, with your lack of sense of smell.
Yeah, that didn't
Did you never really notice that as a child?
No, I did. It was later. It was, 6th, 7th, 8th grade where I think the cereal thing finally started to get to me and I had to
shut it down. Okay.
So earlier elementary school, I know exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, there's always the kid or a couple kids at the school that have that smell. Either it's like their parents are cooking like corned beef hash out of the can.
In addition
every night.
To smoking.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's a good one.
And whatever else kind of is in the backyard or, they've got
or they're
a dog.
They're a fisherman.
fishermen. Well, yes. I grew up in Spokane. There weren't many fishermen in Spokane.
Okay. Well, but, over on this side of the mountains, there were a lot of fish smells.
Yeah.
In elementary school, and yeah. you know, and not kind the, of not the greatest of
the,
smells.
The saltwater. Saltwatery, fishy,
right,
kind of
right.
smells.
Yeah. And I, you know, it was also it was always like a huge fear of mine to be that kid. And I okay, I've got a story. So we had just moved into this big this new house that my parents had built, and I was about I don't know maybe maybe 12 or 13 years old or something mm-hmm. like that. Up until that point, I don't think that I had ever been the kid with the strange smelling house.
Uh-huh.
You know, but my parents decided to paint one weekend.
Okay.
And they painted the interior all these funky colors, you know, because uh-huh. we lived in kind of a more hippier part of the state.
Right.
And so you know, there's greens and purples and blues and tans and stuff. Yeah. Weird shit.
No.
Yeah. But so they do the painting, and then that night, after they're done painting, they think it's just going to be a great idea to fry cod in the kitchen. Now, this would be a good time to point out that if you have recently painted, do not cook fish, shellfish, crab, any sort of seafood.
No.
Or smelly food in general.
Yeah.
Inside the house.
Sauerkraut.
Do not. Oh God! Don't even mess with that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can swear, by the way, on this if you feel the need.
Good to know.
Yeah, yeah. But so that night we had fried cod. It was good. You know, my mom used to bread it and all mm-hmm. the you know the shake and bake stuff but the next day I noticed that once I got onto the bus, I passed one of my friends and he made this grimacing face and told me that I smelled really bad. And so, you know, it was still stuck in my nose. Right. Like I didn't have the sense, I couldn't smell it on myself, right? But as the day went on, I started smelling this weird, like, kind of fishy smell.
Right.
And then I get home and it hits me like a bag of bricks.
As soon as you walk in the door.
Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, at 12, 13 years old, I am the kid with the weird smelling house.
So
fuck that, that smell didn't go away for weeks
because
it gets stuck in the paint. It gets stuck in the new paint, and you can't get that smell out.
Yeah,
and we literally had that smell for like three and a half weeks. It felt like for years,
right.
But it must have only been a couple, you know, 3 weeks, maybe even a month. But
right.
Man, that is bad.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
The closest I've ever come to like that is a little bit later when I'm bussing tables or working pizza places,
right?
You know, and you just pull those shifts back to back to back,
right?
You come home smelling, and you were allowed to smoke in restaurants back then.
That
does date me a little bit. so there's the cigarette smoke, there's the grease, especially the pizza place. There's just everything about pizza it tastes so good,
or like McDonald's or like Taco Bell or something.
Yeah.
You come out of that grease trap,
And I never even worked in a place that bad, but still, you're just saturated in it. You don't even notice anymore until you go home and your parents say, make some kind of crack about it. And
right.
It's like, oh, good. If mom and dad are laughing at me about it, what are all my friends thinking?
No shit, right?
Awesome. I'm well, so at least, cool. Well,
that gives us a little insight into how cool your parents were with you.
Yeah.
I guess, you know. They used to make fun of you for your smell.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that's terrible.
No. Let's not make too... I'm suddenly thinking, maybe I'm painting them in too bad of a light. Or, sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. You were wonderful parents, I swear to God.
No, I had that same thing, though, because, like, you know, you go to college, you need to find a job. I worked in the cafeteria on campus in this place they called the Scrape Line for a little while.
That's
evocative. Oh, my God. It was terrible. This was the worst. I think... This and working at Costco, the worst jobs I've ever had in my life. The Scrape Line is that conveyor belt that you put your used trays on, right?
Okay.
And it goes back into a room. Robots don't pick this shit up, people. It's actual people working back there, working frantically to get the rest of the food off of the plates and then put them, you know, give them to the dishwasher guy.
Right.
You know? And, man, that was the worst job. You know, just working with like Like, you'd have, you know, big, giant trash cans that you're just scooping this food off into.
Yeah.
And it's cafeteria food, you know.
Yeah.
Just the nastiest of the nasty.
Basically, the cafeteria food that nobody wanted to eat because it's still on the tray.
It's still on the plate. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, hot dogs that have been cooked for 2 days.
Right.
You know, and
the macaroni and cheese that just caked to the side and you can't break it off.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's part of your job. You got to get that hard shit off of those plates. Yeah. Well, what kids would do is they would send back plates. They'd put a little honey on the plate, and then they'd stick these thin glass drinking glasses onto the plate, and that honey became like glue after about an hour of them sitting with that thing.
Right.
You know, and some people would make like little castles out of these things and stuff like that and send it back. And you'd be stuck trying to get this without breaking the glass off of the plate. Right. And you learned very quickly that if you just tried to yank it, you would break it and cut yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd have like, you know, mashed potatoes in the wound. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a bad thing. That shit turns gangrenous in about an hour.
Which says wonderful things about what the food you just put into your stomach is doing to your system.
Oh, my God, man. It was such a... God bless college food. See, I didn't even think that this topic was going to bring up this much...
Emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is bad stuff.
Yeah.
This
no, if you were a method stuff. Actor, you could absolutely tap into that for your sense memories. Well,
I've been doing this for about a year and a half now, so it's becoming easier and easier just to complain about shit. You know, once you get used to talking on a mic after about a year and a half, you got a lot of shit to complain about. You know, everybody does.
I've never let the lack of a microphone stop me from complaining. I like to bitch. It's in my nature.
It makes you feel better about yourself sometimes.
It took a little while. It was a small little thing early in the marriage, because she wanted to fix what I was bitching about. Well, you could try this or try that or try this.
Well, no, because like, you still want to bitch.
Just let me bitch about this, please.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
Tomorrow will be 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Happy anniversary, Tiger. I love you.
Oh, you're scoring points right now.
Well, I should hope so.
Yeah. You cleaned up poop this morning out of the bathtub. Yes, now I did. You're saying you love her on a radio
on
show
the interwebs.
To 6,000 people.
Awesome. So, yeah. 6,000 people know I love my wife. Yeah. Good.
So how did you and your wife meet then?
We actually met in acting school.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down in, because you went to Evergreen, correct?
Yes, but this was not part of Evergreen. I did go to the Evergreen State College for my undergrad, but this was 10 years ago this May, so 2002. I had been working at Adobe and was good
here
job.
Here in Seattle?
Here in Seattle. Yeah. Adobe down in Fremont. Good job, good people, good money, but I was just pretty restless, so I quit. And for a year, just lived off my savings and the little stock options I had. And was going to write a book and ended up at acting school and then fell in love with Trish. And we've kind of gone off on this whole different direction.
Yeah, so. Yeah, totally, totally. Well, that's great, man.
Yeah, no, it was a complete...
Congratulations, 7 years. That's great. And you got a beautiful little 2-year-old.
A beautiful little 2-year-old,
Rosalind. That likes to poop in the bathtub.
Well, this is her first time. Let's hope it's not a likes to, because once or twice, I'm cool, man, you know.
That's the thing with kids too, is like you don't want to get them used to a situation too much.
Yeah.
Because then they rely on it, right? So like, you know, feeding your baby right before it goes to sleep.
Right.
Like you're not really supposed to do that, because then they become reliant on getting fed right before they go to bed. You know, all this stuff that you got to remember.
Well,
so make sure that she doesn't get used to pooping in the bathtub, because in order for her to poop, she needs to be in the bed.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
that would be bad.
This probably won't be. But you will find as the more your grows into toddlerhood, that becomes more and more. You start to do little things and you don't even think about it. Oh, here,
yeah,
this is
and
for
then
you
they
and this
want
is for
that,
you and then
right.
they want it.
Yeah,
or you realize you're doing everything for them and they're not learning how to do it. You got to let them work through their frustration.
It makes me think about why it's illegal to put your kid in a dark room and just shut the door. Because then they're not used to anything, right? Then everything's a treat.
Light.
Why
light
is that
it
illegal?
Becomes a treat.
So why the fuck is that illegal?
Right. God. Gee, who knows?
I don't know. This is a great spot to go to our second musical break.
Sounds good.
Let's just cut it off right there before we go
get
further.
Really into trouble.
And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Dan Heinrich, part what? Director, part producer,
part writer. Dad, husband,
brother,
paralegal.
You've got to be a son.
I am a son.
We'll be talking more with Dan Heinrich.
What other title can I claim?
Well, let's think about that. And when we come back, maybe we'll just start listing everything that you do.
Excellent.
Yeah. Wonderful. This is the Air Raid Podcast. Hang with us, because when we get back, we're going to talk with Dan about this awesome new web series that's coming out and that you can check out. And we'll give you all the information that you need to do so. This is the Blue Scholars. We'll be back with you in just one moment. The place that I grew, more slippers than shoes. Bunch of fools sitting wishing in school with a principal who never saw no talent. Dripped up a crib like Iolani Palace. Pre-Lily Okalani, legendary status. Every hand grabbing for the sky like Jimmy. Super fly snooker in his prime, fuck a limelight. Give me sunshine and a mic and I'm fine. Life been defined by nights under skies. Next to the line where the see me land. Got both feet planted in the sand like damn, bruh. I've been missing all that. So I had to go back to the island like Jack, Jack, Jack. And now it's flash forward on a track. Gotta liberate my people like I'm on EK Trask. Breathing a breeze when I ease way back. In a Jeep with the top and the seats lay flat. Yeah, I got heat. Cause every time I speak, I keep burning like a Howley on a beach. Why? It's the 808 love. Like 88 playing tapes, bass in the trunk. It's the 808 kick. That shit's so sick it make your heartbeat skip like this. It's the 808 love, like 88 playing tapes, bass in the trunk. It's the 808 kick, that shit's so thick it make your heartbeat skip like this. I raise hell when I blaze well, and we made next door feel sorta like Blaisdell. And I came directly from the place, seen a whole lot of homes erase. Face with an ice epidemic so large, it'll put global warming on pause. Warning all frauds, no, it's not a walk on a beach, so don't come thinking. Shit is sweeter than a sugar cane tree. Cause when a beat's drop, bruh, don't blame me. And now you wanna curse like Interstate 3. Newsflash jerk, Hawaii ain't free. And I vowed on the day I became an MC. Never not say what I made to speak from. This ain't rock, but rock, walked and breathe. It be the smoke signals from them wowie trees. And more information is what we need. If you ever came up rock and swap me tees. Or you say having red stains under your feet. In a spot this hot, everybody stay cool. Peace to the crew, I'm a light sleeper too. Late night wonderful, under the moon. I got hot sex on a platter for two. And yes, I'm talking to you, Miss 808 Love. The best damn place in the world. All right, we are back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for you. Episode 72.
Ooh.
Can you believe it? We're really doing this here. This is now, like I say at the beginning of each show, this is definitely a long and drawn out series.
Well,
with no end in sight. So I apologize to all of you listening.
That's okay, because if anyone listening is a comic book fan, then 72 is everybody knows you're either hitting your stride or the whole thing's going down into flaming wreckage.
Well, so. Let's not talk about that. back with Dan Heinrich. We were just talking a little bit at the break there. You got a fancy new smartphone here.
Fancy new smartphone, Motorola Droid system. Very happy with it.
It looks pretty rad.
It is pretty rad. Yeah. Nice and thin. And from a guy who can remember the first compact portable computer,
right,
that my dad used to have
home,
which was just under 30 pounds, and probably had 1/100th, if that, of the processing power of this tiny phone in my hands.
Yeah,
there is,
and only had green.
And right, the green letters, the keyboard was the lid.
Right,
you pull off the lid, and there's the keyboard and the screen. The screen honestly wasn't much bigger than my smartphone right now. There is a certain sense of the kid in me goes, "Holy crap, that's cool!"
Aren't they great? Okay, so this is your first venture into the smartphone
it
world.
Is.
Now, looking back, do you ever think you can just go back to a regular cell phone?
No.
No, there's no chance.
No.
There's no chance in hell.
And In fact, back in the early 2000s, I was holding off on getting a cell phone, period.
Right.
People say, why? They're so convenient. I said,
I know.
Too
Me
convenient.
Too. Me too.
I will get too hooked on them, and I will never be able to let them go.
I will never remember. Here was my thing, is that I said, I will never be able to remember another phone number ever again, because everybody had them in their contacts list.
Right.
I had an actual physical sheet of paper with everybody that I knew on there and their phone number. And that thing, I mean, I started memorizing them after a little while, because you had to physically look at them and then, you know, look at it while you're typing in somebody's phone number.
Right.
Now you don't have to do that. I barely remember Mairead's phone number. It literally took me a year and a half to memorize her phone number.
Wow.
Because I just never had to, right? Yeah. And now, oh my God, the other night, so I go to the ATM, and I thought that I had left my phone at the ATM on Greenwood Avenue. And I freaked out, because I don't have like any security on the phone. And like, these things have now become your little black book.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
all your addresses, all your passwords, everything's like preloaded on this thing.
Yeah. The really freaky thing for me about these is our car got stolen this summer.
Oh, shitty.
Yeah. That was lousy. We were just about to leave on morning. I was just about to go pack the car to leave on vacation.
No.
No car.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh.
But I'm buying a new car.
Heart crushing.
Finally decided, okay, this is a car we're going to get. And
had
the check from the insurance company and had to transfer it over so I could go pull the money out to hand to the dealership. And I do that on my phone.
Mm-hmm,
I'm banking on my phone so I can buy a car. And that was a moment I'm like, okay, I never should have gone down this cell phone road in the first place.
Now we're all screwed.
Yeah.
We're all screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's heard of an EMP. I mean, we got a strong enough EMP to go on.
Just if there's no Wi-Fi signal, I'm pissed, man. It's like, what? Why do you not have Wi-Fi here? Come on.
Well, that's another thing. So the other day, I also forgot my phone at home.
Yeah.
And I got down the street, and I was like, should I turn back? Should I turn back and get it? And I was like, no, it'll be good for me to just leave that thing at home, you know, for one day.
Yeah.
And my wife calls me, Mairead calls me on my work cell phone. She says, hey, your phone's still here.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I know. And I was like, I felt like I was physically going through withdrawals because I couldn't check my email throughout the day.
Right.
Or, you know, or I couldn't play solitaire on Vegas style, by the way.
Okay.
On my phone during my lunch break.
Right.
And that was hard. That was a very boring lunch break.
Yeah. For me, it's the commute. I have to play backgammon on my commute.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Solitaire. Yeah. Solitaire. Three card. Three cards.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult sometimes.
It sounds like
I'm down like $7,000.
It's a good thing it's imaginary.
It's, oh boy. Yeah, it is. It is. Well, hey, Dan, let's talk about this show.
Absolutely.
That we got going on here. The Collectibles. Tell us about The Collectibles.
The Collectibles is a comedic web series following a group of superheroes.
Kind of like in the same vein of like The Office and Parks and Rec.
Office, Parks and Rec. Yeah, there's those influences that the fake documentary format, kind of situational comedy. And it all takes place inside the office. So it follows superheroes, but it's the drudgery of the superhero world. It's the paperwork.
Right.
It's the office politics.
Which, by the way, I would just like to say this. I thought that was a very, very novel idea. Even though that medium has been done a whole bunch, just the idea of having like superheroes that actually work in the office.
Yeah.
Like that, you know.
And you know, I would love to take credit for that, but I just can't. Todd Downing, the co-creator,
who was supposed to be here,
is a walking phlegm factory today.
Right,
and
right.
Get better, Todd. He and I have been working together for a few years on various projects, a couple of short films. Our most successful would be the music video for the band Kirby Crackle for their song On and On.
Right, who we've had on this very program.
Great guys.
A couple of times.
And they make cameos in episodes 2 and 3.
Right, they told me about that.
Yes,
yeah.
They're great. As corporate tools, they're perfectly cast.
They're like they play like attorneys or something like that.
Kyle's an attorney who never says a word, and
he
Jim's
just
a vice president.
He stares at one of the superhero's chest the whole time.
He stares at the chest. He stares at the guns. He whispers into Jim's ear to tell him what to say, so he doesn't get into legal trouble. They had a blast. We had a blast having them. They were a lot of fun with it. But we are working on Todd created a short film a few years back called Ordinary Angels, which is Angels and Fallen, sort of as cops and robbers in the modern world, battling over the souls of mortals. So it's a lot of leather and knife fights and gunfights and very cool drama stuff. And we thought, well, this would make a great TV series. So we've been trying to turn this into a pitch for a cable TV show. Which is a long process, and
that's got to be tough.
After the initial excitement, oh, this idea would be cool, and this idea would be cool. You get really into a slog of having to tighten this up, and everybody you're working with your team, and we're poking holes in it, and it's just like, oh, okay, well that.
So
won't
wait
work.
A minute.
Oh,
so
that won't work.
So this this Angels, this is different from the collectibles.
This is something
that you guys came up with before you did the collectibles, right?
Correct. Okay. Ordinary Angels. Todd shot the short film Ordinary Angels without me. By the way, so he is capable of doing his own work.
Bitch.
This is before I met him.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
He came up with the idea for Ordinary Angels.
Right.
She'd have to correct me, 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
He actually cast my wife in it. She's an actor.
Oh, okay.
And she said, oh, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy. You like him. We're like, hey, yeah, whatever. We met and we had this instant creative rapport. Separated a few months at birth. The Simpsons quotes, the Star Wars quotes, every geek quote, we can just go bam, 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 bam. So we started working together on multiple projects, including developing Ordinary Angels from a short film into this cable television series, which we are hopefully very, very ready to pitch. We've been through a number of iterations on this, and we keep thinking, oh, this one will get us there, and oh, no, we need to tweak this and that, and rework this, so hopefully we're nearly there.
Yeah.
And just that process is just so frustrating, and it's paper and pen and meetings and everything else, and we wanted to get our hands dirty again. So he calls up and he says, let's do something over the summer. This is about April, late April, early May. Let's do something over the summer. Let's do something fun and funny and see what we can put together. And so we started bouncing around ideas. He had a stage play he had written but had never been produced called Tragic Heroes, about a group of superheroes in an everyday life. And he said, well, maybe we can mine something out of there. I said, yeah, superheroes would be good. Try and find something funny. And so we had that conversation over the phone, hung up. And Trish says, so what are you guys going to do? I'm like, I don't know. He's going to send me his script he has for the superhero play, and we'll see what we can work from that. She says, superheroes, huh? I said, yeah. What about Super Friends Meets the Office? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately texted Todd, and he writes back, perfect, let's do it.
Yeah.
So Trish was the one who came up with
the idea. So your wife was the one that came up with the idea.
She is, yes.
So does she have...
She's actually...
Is that written into the contract? Like, you know, she gets a bigger cut if this thing takes off? What's the deal?
She gets the deep love and appreciation I've always given her, and I know she's very happy with that.
She didn't get... She doesn't have to take the poop out of the bathtub.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually funny. It ended up being the same development team. Todd, myself, Trish, Lloyd, and Landon Salyer, who are working on developing Ordinary Angels, and we were the ones who kind of became the core group for developing the collectibles.
Excellent.
So we started coming up with a group of series. We knew, okay, this will be a great format for it. Let's start coming up with the superheroes. Yeah. And we started going through and, okay, well, we need a Superman type. And how do we do that? And playing around with those to get the characters.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, we brought in our friends, Sherelle Ashby and Janelle Cornwall, who we like to call the Gore Sisters. They are our entire production department, costumes, makeup, props, everything. They, a few years back, they did a did makeup on a shoot we were on. And they made a guy, a friend of ours, had his looked like his head had been blown off with a shotgun with some food coloring and paper towels, essentially. And
oh my god!
It was amazing. So from that point on, we started calling them the Gore Sisters. Top notch duo.
Yeah, yeah.
And they started helping fill in with costumes and, oh, we could do this or that. They really helped starting adding to the characters around it. So from that, we had these sketches that we then started looking at all our, okay, we know these people, who would be good for this? And those actors started bringing in little bits and pieces to each of the characters. So we really, we created this core concept and the characters really came out of a real organic communal process, which was a lot of fun to sit back and go, oh, didn't even see that one coming. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, I mean, you guys are kind of drawing from, like, I kind of take it that you have been a comic book fan.
I have indeed.
So are you drawing from books like The Boys? A little bit? Because that's kind of the same concept a little bit. Where it's these groups of superheroes and they get into, like, kind of the mundaneness of their actual, like, yeah, real lives.
That wasn't that actually. I didn't like become that. Aware of that until after we started working on it. It wasn't a direct reference. Or I should say that wasn't a direct influence.
Well, it's enough of a difference, that, too. It's like, I mean, it's two totally different things.
Yeah. But, and there are a number of, after we came up with this idea and we started putting stuff together, we did a little research on the web. Oh, is anybody else doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a number of web series that superheroes in a non-super setting.
Right, right, yeah.
That we're like, oh, this maybe this isn't so unique, but we thought we had a fairly unique take on it with specifically putting them in the office.
Right, right.
And one of the things it wasn't until we had the first three scripts written and we're into pre-production and I'm looking through this and working with actors and I just realized what Todd created the first drafts. Todd wrote the first drafts for these episodes and then he and I would tweak them and bounce them back and forth and do some revisions. What he really ended up creating were these very powerful people who have given up all their power to somebody else and hate every minute of it.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them, except for the Quick. The Quick is the one character who's really happy with his situation. But
he's the guy that always goes out and gets coffee for everybody because he's super fast.
He doesn't share his coffee. No.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he's super fast. We have a point. He comes into a conference room after a fight, and they're like, "Where have you been?" "Oh, South America."
Yeah.
He lost a huge chunk of his memory in the accident that made him the Quick. So, you know, he's the only one who's really satisfied with where he is.
Yeah.
Everyone else in one way or another is really upset about the corporate structure, about what's going on, how they're used, how they're perceived out in public. And they're all bitching about it, but none of them does anything about it.
Right, right.
Which I just thought was just this beautiful thing. These incredibly powerful people who have voluntarily given up all their power and then sit and bitch about it constantly. Which, you know, from earlier, I loved to bitch. So this really was right up my alley. So it was that take that we thought was our unique spin on it.
Okay.
Really, the comedy in superheroes is in juxtaposing the superheroics and the mundane. So
right,
I think any way you do that is gold.
Well, one of the things that stands out in my mind too about because I watched the pilot episode. I don't think because none of the other episodes that are done are available.
Correct.
Right. Now, right?
We've only released the pilot as part of our fundraising campaign for the rest of the season.
Right. Yeah. So the part that really stands out in my mind is being like. A super clever thing on that show is the receptionist, who is also a psychic and has psychic powers and basically just answers the phone by, you know, touching her forehead and speaking or, you know, I thought that was super clever. Who came up with that?
I think Receiver was Todd's creation.
Okay.
Although she is quite ably played by the oft mentioned and well loved Trish Lloyd, my wife of 7 years.
Oh, that's
years,
your wife?
Tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's Trish.
Nice. Nice. Excellent. Excellent.
So she was able to bring her own spin into that in terms of what will start coming out in later episodes is her bitterness at being stuck behind the desk.
right.
Because
she's
this uber powerful telepath and they have her answering the phones.
Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit about. Some of the characters that you guys have.
You bet.
So the Superman character.
Superstar
who couldn't be here today as well, right?
That's correct. Brian Sutherland is a wonderful actor, but also down with an illness because it's the beginning of November and this is what happens.
Yeah.
Superstar
He's
is
kind of the leader of
team
the pack
leader, and, the good looking, all American hero,
right?
The highest rating, the highest action figure sales.
Yeah.
As he is quick to tell us, his action figures outsell Ultra Femme and the Quick combined. What Brian brought to the table for Superstar was this idea that everything he needed to learn about being a superhero, he learned in kindergarten and pretty much stopped there.
So we'd
already had designed the gold star aspect of his costume.
Yeah,
he took that and was like, oh, gold stars for everyone.
Yeah,
gold stars and pudding cups and nap times, those are real important things in Superstar's world. So now that he's faced with this, we open up and one of the key members, a co-second in command, the Crimson Pike, has gone down with a career-ending injury.
Right.
And the ramifications of this are shaking up the team. This is the first time anything really bad has happened to him.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't know how to deal with it. As you see in his interview when he's trying to say, you know, hey, it's a tough business and people get hurt. He doesn't have the words to get that out.
Right, right, yeah.
Sweet guy, great intentions, but just not necessarily the top of the deck.
Right, right. And then you also have, there's a character called Aquaman.
Aquaman, yes.
Who's missing an eye.
Yes. We know we wanted the Aquaman type character.
Right, right.
Todd in particular loves to riff on how Aquaman is generally looked down on and poo-pooed, and in fact is an incredibly power individual, incredibly superpowered individual.
Yeah, if you get in the water with him.
Yeah, but even then he's super strong and he's tough and he's all of this. So we knew we wanted to riff on that.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find a name. And finally I thought, well, what about Agua? You know, just enough. I was like, well, we have to make him Hispanic. And then I remembered Frank Acosta, who I worked with in acting school, the same one I met Trishan, who's just a wonderful actor. He'd be perfect for this. He doesn't look like a superhero. Wait, Frank is missing an eye. That's it. He lost his eye and his weight gained, and now he's stuck doing the filing. Oh, that'll be perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a great combination of using what was actually there with Frank and saying, oh, this is how we could use him. And then Frank plays up the bitterness at... how they always treated him before he went down with the injury, and B, how they're treating him now that he's lost the eye and gained the weight.
Yeah, yeah.
He rips those out of the park. the most oft-quoted line of the whole pilot episode is, I miss my fish. he's brought a wonderful sense to it.
Well, that's great, and I can't wait to see some more of the episodes as well. But you guys are kind of doing this in a bit of a unique way. You've started this, like, is it? It's not Kickstarter, right?
No,
it's,
we're using Indiegogo.
Indiegogo,
which are the two main crowdsourcing websites out there right now. Kickstarter.com and Indiegogo.com.
Yeah, yeah. And you're using that to finance the
full
finance
season,
the full
project. Yeah. Once we started. Looking at doing this, we thought, well, we need to do this as a series, a short. Mm-hmm. We can't develop this enough in a short. We need to do a web series. We'll need to get financing for that. And it was Todd's idea to start looking at the crowdsourcing stuff, which a lot of people are using for film and video projects right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What we decided to do a little bit differently is start before we had the funding. We were able to self-finance the first three episodes, and we wanted to show a full pilot, not just a trailer, not just a, hey, this is our idea and it'll be really cool if you give us money.
Right, yeah.
We wanted to show this is what we're capable of doing, this is what we've already done, and this is what we're going to keep going on to do. We just want your help to be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went ahead and shot those first three episodes with everybody working on spec, which was incredibly generous of all the cast and crew. Since their payment is depending on us hitting certain funding levels.
right, yeah.
And then getting up on Indiegogo and trying to raise money that way.
Yeah, yeah. So. And so how's it going so far?
Actually, not super great. We're a little low.
Oh, really?
We set a very aggressive goal for funding the whole season, which we knew that was aggressive, but we haven't even made back the expenses from the first three episodes yet.
Oh, so, man.
If you would, anyone who is listening, check us out on Indiegogo, please.
Even a
$5 contribution will help. And really passing the, if you like the show, if you see it and you like it, just pass it to your friends and let them know.
Right, definitely.
We will be going forward by hook or by crook. And actually, Wonder Russell is playing Shield Maiden in the collectibles, and she's a very talented Seattle actress working on many, many projects and has much experience with the crowdsourcing. She actually thought... We should do Kickstarter. A difference between Kickstarter and Indiegogo, Kickstarter is all or nothing. You raise it all or you get nothing.
Right, right.
Indiegogo, you raise what you keep.
Uh-huh.
Or you keep what you raise.
Right.
And she thinks that all or nothing aspect of it really helps incentivize people to give.
Uh-huh. Well,
we were going with this approach that, hey, we're going to do this no matter what, but it will be that much better and that much easier if you can help out. So.
Yeah, so please go to Indiegogo, and you can type in the collectibles into the search bar and check it out there. And you can watch the that's where you can watch the
pilot episode there. Yes,
as well, right?
There's also a whole lot of goodies in the video update section. We have some PSAs from the characters, as well as some conversations from Todd Downing and myself.
Yeah, and then the little action figure commercials that you guys have made as well, right?
Yeah,
that start off each episode.
That is how we start each episode, and that was the fourth member of our initial creative team, Landon Salyer. That was his idea.
Excellent.
Instead of in a traditional starting, what if we had the old toy commercials from our childhoods?
Yeah.
So we're trying to give a little hint about each episode in the script for the toy
commercials. Oh, okay.
So,
okay. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then there's the website, the-collectibles.com, interviews, behind the scene photos, also links to see the pilot as well. So.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dan.
Thank
I really
you, sir.
Appreciate it. I'm sorry that Todd and and Brian are both sick.
I am as well, but better now than when we're shooting.
Totally. So. And I think our conversation about awkward smells and and baby poop would not have been achieved with more than with a bigger group.
That's true.
I think we did pretty well.
That is true. Well, the awkwardness could really have just killed everything.
I know. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was good stuff. Okay. Thank you again, Dan. And
thank you,
please,
sir.
Please go to Indiegogo.com and check this out and help these guys out with the project. Of course, you can find our website at www.air-raid.net or on the Noisebeam website, noisebeam.com. And, oh man, don't forget, go to iTunes, rate us, give us a little star rating. Really helps us out with continuing to get good guests on the show. So do that, right? This is Blue Scholars. We'll see you next week.
I reach beneath the skin of the street with each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box, hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops off and I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off at a Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun, greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabos in the back, all alone, marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbling rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design. Rewind, sister, reminds me of a smile in the back of my memory. Wonder if I see her again, will she remember me? I'm not trying to holler, I swear, I'm just weary of the way we hop a ride and just sit there and stare. Prepare for my 9 o'clock work meeting. A couple pale folks slide right by with no greeting, but the people with my phenotype follow with a head nod up. Cause we acknowledge that the shit fucked up. North of Martin Luther King, a straight war zone, detours through the concrete cranes and bulldozers. No, the hill is not over still. Every block got a coffee shop, it's overkill. Focus, no big deal. Dope to see Khalil back. The medicine is good again. The feeling of leaving and coming back to your hood again is priceless. I write this, our lives are in crisis. Most talk but don't walk the path of the righteous. Despite this.